the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day it is to be in His house. Hallelujah. Let's try that one more time. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. You know, it's sometimes we forget about just how wonderful it is to be in our church. This past week, Miss Ruth Ann and I were out of town. Well, we were on vacation, my golf vacation. And of course, the Lord in His infinite humor, while I was on my golf vacation up in northern Georgia, made the temperatures in the 40s and plenty of rain. But in the midst of all that, we had the opportunity, I had the great blessing to do the wedding of my granddaughter. And I want you to know that at my granddaughter's wedding, that there was quivering lips and running tears and blubbering, and that was just the preacher. And Miss Ruth Ann didn't even try not to cry. Please turn in the Word of God to Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, as we continue our current series called Radically on Mission. Today's message is on courage. And you may wonder why we sang that last song right before the message, but you will discover it. You know, sometimes we need different types of courage, amen? And I can tell you that all through the growing up years of my grandchildren, Cheyenne was the only girl. You know, she has her brother and she has the three cousins from my daughter. And they were always very protective of her. You know, all 4 foot whatever she is. I know that sometimes they would go to the movies. And some guy would want to come over and start talking to Cheyenne, and miraculously, her brother and all three cousins would show up right by her side, saying, "Can we help you?" And Cheyenne, when she came down that aisle, and I was standing there, all 4 foot 11 and a half of her, and she got to the front, and her father was standing there with her. What a profound moment it was in my life! And she looked at me with those big brown eyes, and Pastor Larry just about lost it. So we went to prayer immediately for that. If you found your way to Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, please say, amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at Him with their teeth. Now let me just set the stage before I continue with these passages. Stephen is one of the original deacons. One of the seven original deacons spoke about in Acts chapter 6, which we spoke of a few weeks ago. A man full of grace and wisdom. A man full of kindness. But he stood strong in the Word of God. And he has been taken by the legalists. And we will see today that he has declared some things to the religious people that they simply did not want to hear. And so with that in mind, let's start this again. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of the Lord and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep, meaning that he died. You may not realize this, but every single Christian is called into ministry. Every single Christian is called into the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the ascended Christ has given gifts to every believer so that each and every one of us may serve in the capacity for which God has prepared us. You may have been prepared to serve the Lord in your ministry of the music and being able to sing, or the ministry of encouragement, or preaching, or teaching. But God has called every single Christian into ministry. Even little ones. I got the attention of Miss Ruth Ann while she was singing this morning, and I said, watch these guys. And I pointed right over here to these two little boys that were right here. And those boys, those little boys, Miss Yolette's grandchildren, I believe they are, were worshiping the Lord with all their heart. It was an amazing thing to watch. But every disciple of Jesus Christ has a significant contribution to make to the work of God and His kingdom. Did you know that? Let me repeat that again for each and every one of you sitting here, in case you're wondering if God can use you. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has a significant contribution to make to the work of God and God's kingdom. You are here for a purpose. And you are here to be radically on mission for Jesus Christ. So what do I mean? It's simple. You see, serving here in the comfort of Living Hope Church may not be what God has prepared for you to do in your ministry. It may be the preparation point for you, but God may be preparing you for bigger things in a bigger church. God may be preparing you for things in Africa, or missions in South America or the Caribbean. We don't know what God is preparing us for. Amen? For those of you that have been with Living Hope Church since it was Harvest Chapel, who could have imagined that with the journey that this church has taken, that we would still be a church at all? No church that I've ever heard of has survived the formation and the transformations that Living Hope Baptist Church has survived. So listen closely to me, my friends in Christ. What you'll see here today is that while this may be what we observe as the normal Christian life, worshiping in safety, worshiping in relative comfort within this sanctuary, the time may come when you are isolated by yourself and called to stand for Jesus Christ. When you don't have your brothers and sisters in Christ surrounding you to support you. And you are going to have to learn how to stand alone with Christ in you, perhaps against great odds. You may have to stand alone, young people, in your college classes. Rest of you, you may have to stand alone for Christ in the workplace. You may have to stand alone socially at a party when people are telling dirty jokes or mocking you for your Christianity. But the time will come. Listen to me, Christians. Everybody look up here. All around this sanctuary, everybody please look up here. The time will come, and at some point you will have to stand alone for Jesus Christ. You will. But God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Remember, when it appears that you are alone, you are not. If you are the redeemed child of God, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ lives in you, and God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we get closer to the end times, God's enemies are growing more and more hostile to the people of the Lord. You can hardly look at a channel that is not, or any show on TV that is not completely corrupted with worldly things. The secular world is growing more vicious, more furious than ever. So I ask today, are you ready to stand alone? Are you ready to stand for Jesus Christ? Are you ready to call upon the Lord for the courage that you will need for those times? Because it's our duty, it's our privilege, is to stand for Christ. At times we stand together, at other times we are to stand alone, or what seems to the world to be alone. Now I'm going to read to you for just a moment about the first deacon mentioned in the Bible. Flip over a page in your Bible, over to chapter 6. Should be a page or so. Chapter 6, verse 5. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. This is when the apostles had called for deacons to serve. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, we'll learn about him next week. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Antioch, by the way, you'll learn, is the first place where we were called Christians. You see, what a deacon Stephen was. The Bible says that he was a man full of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story to you right now, but later today, I want you to go and I want you to read all of chapter 7. If you'll commit to that, say amen. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Read all of chapter 7 today. You need to get the full measure of what is taking place here. Chapter 7 is a story packed with spiritual power. It's packed with wisdom. And it's about an amazing man of God called Stephen. People could not resist when Stephen spoke. He was a layman, yes. He was a deacon, yes. But he had so much spiritual power in his life. He was so infused with the power of the Holy Spirit that as a layman, he was able to perform miracles. But it's better than that. I want you to look around this sanctuary. Look around. These are your friends in Christ that will be with you in heaven. Every single one of you is a miracle of God. Every single one of you. And if you learn to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll have that opportunity when someone receives Christ, when you're sharing the gospel, you'll see the change in their eyes and you'll know you've just witnessed another miracle. There's nothing like that feeling. Nothing. I've been there when my children were born. I've been there when my grandchildren were born. Those are amazing times. But when the light goes on in a person's eyes and they receive Jesus Christ, there is nothing like that. So Stephen was able to perform miracles. He was able to call out people boldly as well if they were doing ungodly things. And the legalist church people were infuriated by that. In chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Friends, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. These people were offended by the word of God. You see, when I preach the word of God, I don't worry about all that. I don't care about the offense. I want to speak with tact. I want to speak with grace and mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to speak the truth of the word of God. And if they are offended by the word of God, be offended at God. I'm simply reading what is there. Hallelujah. And so, friends, these people were so angry that they were snarling at him. They were gnashing their teeth at him. Look at verses 55 and 56 again in chapter 7. If you're there, please say amen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Listen to me. He has said what God has called him to say. They are gnashing at him with their teeth. What does he say? He says, "Behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." What a beautiful thing. Amen? How could that possibly be offensive? How could that possibly cause any problem? It doesn't seem to be anything wrong there. Amen? Let me share something with you. The name of Jesus is offensive to Satan and his people. And if you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to Satan. On the internet, I want you to look at me here. Pastor Larry doesn't normally do these kinds of things. I want to say that so there's no misunderstanding. There is no middle ground on this earth. There is no middle ground. You can't walk the fence on which way you're going to jump. You are either for Christ and you belong to Him, or you are for Satan and you belong to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, it seems like he's doing nothing wrong, but these people are offended by that. In verse 57, look at what it says. But they cried out with a loud voice. That word "cried out with a loud voice" actually means they shrieked. They shrieked. Have you ever heard a lady shriek? How about a soprano lady shriek? Well, let me share this with you. When my wife sneezes, and she's a soprano, it's amazingly piercingly loud. But what they did was even worse than that. They shrieked. They cried out. Now look in verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now it's incredibly important that you understand this. What I'm going to say next cannot be overstated. Look at the second part of verse 58. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Saul, who is a legalist. Saul, who had probably memorized the first five books of the Bible. Saul, who was religious from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. This evil man standing right there, holding their cloaks while they stone beautiful, sweet Stephen, watching what's going on, approving what's going on, later becomes the great Apostle Paul that wrote 13 books in the New Testament. You see, you may be here today and you say, "Lord, Pastor Larry, I'm far from God. You have no idea what I have done." Have you done that? Have you been a willing participant in the murder of a godly person? Saul, that God will use greatly. Continuing in our scripture again, look at verse 59. If you're there, please say amen. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now look at this next part. Could you do this? Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, it's easy to wonder how Stephen was able to say, "Father, forgive them." The very same words that Christ spoke on the cross of Calvary. We wonder at that. How is it possible that he could say that? Well, wonder no more. Turn back over to Acts chapter 6, verse 3. If you're there, please say amen. Looking at verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation." You got that? "Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Listen to me, friends. Deacons are made by God. They're not elected by the church. What do I mean by that? Well, Pastor, it sure looks like they had an election there. Of course they had an election. But it's people that they already approved. Amen? We have men serving as deacons in this church that when we ordained them, most of you thought they already were deacons. You can't make a deacon. A deacon has a servant's heart. He's full of wisdom and he's full of the Holy Spirit, or he's not designed to be a deacon. Hallelujah. It's not about electing somebody to the position. It's about acknowledging what God has already done in that person. And so we see that. Now look again at verse chapter 6, verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen." Three times in this story, it says that Stephen was a man full of wisdom and mercy and goodness and the Holy Spirit. So what was the secret? What was the secret to Stephen's courage? How did he do that? Well, I have four quick points for you today. Point number one, if you're ready, you have your notes in front of you, say amen. Point number one of 4 points is, first, be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's kind of like, I like to say sometimes, in many Christian churches, he never gets talked about. He's never mentioned. It makes people nervous. He's kind of the Rodney Dangerfield, for some of you that are older. The Rodney Dangerfield of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit of God, are you ready for this? Is God. He is God. We find Him right there in the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And what does it say? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. So we see right there in the beginning, God saying what to do. The Holy Spirit is going to be there for the protection and the power. Well, who actually does all the work? Well, none other than Jesus Christ. Write this down in your margin. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says that of Christ, that by Him and through Him and for Him were all things made that were made. In other words, Christ made it all. The Holy Spirit provided the power. God gave the authority and spoke the words to say, let it be done. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit is part and parcel in our lives. Now every single Christian, when they get all of God, we get all of the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But the sense of saying that Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit means he actually made use of what God had already given all of us. You see, the same Holy Spirit that he had with all of that power resides in you. Call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Call upon the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the question I have is today is, are you full of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you make use of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if not, big announcement. Big announcement. This is going to be a duh moment. You will never be able to stand alone for Jesus Christ. If you try to stand in your own power, you will fail. Every time. But if you stand in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you will stand strong. And you'll be able to bless those that persecute you. You'll be able to pray for those that persecute you and shout you down and mock you. You see, don't get the idea that being filled with the Holy Spirit is just for pastors, it's just for preachers, it's just for the deacons. Friends, it's for all of us. If you look on your screen real quick, you'll see Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who gets that gift? All of us. For the promises to you and your children and to all who are far off, so many as the Lord our God will call. In other words, everyone that the Lord calls, everyone that receives Jesus Christ as Lord, receives the fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. All. I've looked at that word in the Greek. I've looked at all of the permutations of it. And here's what it means. All. Every single one of you, if you are saved, you have the fullness, the full measure of the power of the Holy Spirit available to you in your life. So friends, the Bible commands every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here's something else for you. Don't get the idea that it means that Stephen and the deacons or the pastors or the preachers are some kind of super Christian. That they're different from any other regular Christians. I assure you, we are not. All you have to do is talk to my wife. I'm far below average. Talk to Miss Sunita. Talk to Miss Jamie. They will tell you, well, my husband tries his best to be a godly man. But he's just a regular old Christian. Call upon the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Friend, the average person professing Christ may not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the normal Christian is. Did you get that? Hello, is this thing on? I thought I'd get a better response than that. Let me say that one more time. You may want to write this down. You may want to come see me after church to get this, because this is one of those profound moments I had while Miss Ruth Ann was driving back and she thought I was goofing off and sleeping and eating my cashews that she brought for me. The average Christian professing Christ may not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the normal Christian is. See, you cannot be a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Making use is a different matter. Because when you get saved, God's Holy Spirit comes into you. And listen closely to me. In spite of what you might have heard, in spite of what you may have heard at other churches, in spite of what you may have heard from other pulpits, in spite of what you may have seen and heard on the TV, there is no such thing as getting saved and then sometime later after you are saved, later on, you get the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. That is straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. When you are saved, you get the full measure of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9 on our screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. By the way, this is Paul talking. Used to be Saul. Same guy holding the clothes for them to stone Stephen. Paul talking. But you are not in the flesh, but what? In the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Leave that up there for just a moment, Marianne. Did you get that? Amen. The person that does not have the Holy Spirit of God in their life doesn't belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why people can say, well, he received Christ and then he renounced it sometime later. No, he never had him at all. How is it that a person can receive Christ? How is it that a person can be saved and go through their entire life with zero fruit? Not possible. It's not possible for the Christian to do that. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not possible. So first off, be full of the Holy Spirit. Our second point today. You ready for this? This is good. Every once in a while I hit the nail on the head. Use the Spirit's wisdom to speak for Christ. Use the Spirit's wisdom to speak for Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, you're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Raise your hand if that makes you a little nervous sometimes. All right, the rest of you fibbers, we'll talk to you after church. All right, of course that makes us nervous. Of course it does. Flip back over to chapter 6 again, verse 10. If you dare say amen. Amen. Don't miss this. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. If you make use of the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about that. Amen? You don't have to worry about that. It's important that you go home again and read all of chapter 7. Because it's a short course on sound theological Bible history. Now guys, this isn't all about me wanting you to go home and memorize some Bible facts. Okay, that's not what this is all about. Any reasonably intelligent person who could go home and read the scriptures I've asked you to read and get some facts out of it. I'm talking about getting biblical wisdom. Getting godly wisdom. Getting some Holy Ghost power. I know we don't say that much anymore, but get some Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power can turn a Baptist church into a shouting church. Amen? Sometimes, I've said it before, the music, the worship is so good. I watch those young people up here singing. I watch the young guys on the Congo drums and the regular drums. And I don't know whether to dance or what. But I'm a Baptist preacher, so I know I can move my feet or my hips. I can't move both. So I'll move one of them and I'll raise my hand while these guys are playing and singing. Get some Holy Ghost power in you. Get excited about the things of God. Amen? Don't just sit there like, sit and soak. Amen? We got some Christians running around this world look like they've been sitting in a pickle jar for all their life. Just sit, sour, and soak. I preached my way right off of my nose, Marianne. I'm so sorry for that. Listen, we need biblical wisdom. Or, as Miss Ruth Ann would say, some people just need some walking around sense. You ever heard that saying? They need some walking around sense. You also might ask, well, preacher, I may not know what to say. Nonsense. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. It's just a few books before. Luke chapter 21. And I want you to turn to verse 12. Luke chapter 21, verse 12. Let me know when you're there. Somebody with a paper Bible, please say amen. All right, Mercedes, Gold Star Mercedes. All right, Miss Sherry, make sure that when Mercedes leaves today, we give her a Gold Star. Verse 12, if you're there, hallelujah. But before all these things, reading from the Word of God, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. In other words, what's Jesus saying? That when you are reviled by the world, God has given you a chance to bear witness to Christ. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. Friends, the day will come when you, Mr. or Mrs. Average Joe or Mary Christian, are going to have a chance to preach the gospel message to a group of people. God's going to put you in that position. You might be in court or visiting a prison. You might be before church leaders. You might be before anybody, just a group of family or friends. Wherever it is, God is going to present the opportunity for you to speak. Well, Pastor, I still won't know what to say. Let's make this simple, shall we? Let's make it very simple. Suppose you were told, deny Jesus Christ right now or die. Are you ready for that? Look again at chapter 21, a book of Luke, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. You don't need to know right now what to say at that time. Why? Look at verse 15 again. For I, the Lord has said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. In other words, friends, that's all it takes to speak wisdom for Christ. You don't need your words. Jesus says, I will tell you what to say. I will give you my words, which I love because I want Christ's words because mine aren't that good. I call upon the name of the Lord all the time to pull me out because His words are so much better than mine. If you ever look at my notes, some of you might have seen that. You'll see things crossed out. Those are my words. I review my notes one last time before I come up here and I say, you know what? That sounds an awful lot like Larry Brister. Let's get that guy out of this message. Hallelujah. All right, so not only be full of the Holy Spirit of God, not only use the Spirit's wisdom to speak for Christ, but look at here, our third point. Use the Spirit's power to stand for Christ. Use the Holy Spirit's power to stand for Christ. When your knees are weak, call upon the Holy Spirit of God. When your heart is weak, call upon the Holy Spirit of God. When nothing's coming to your mind, call upon the Holy Spirit of God. When the words don't come out of your mouth, call upon the Holy Spirit of God. Look again in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Well, let's go look at it for the first time. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, 51 and 52. If you're there, please say amen. Now here's Stephen, a man full of grace and mercy and peace. Listen to what the deacon says. You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers of. Now, I don't know about you, but that's downright offensive. If that were being said to me. Can you imagine saying that to the council in Jerusalem? Can you imagine saying that to the religious leaders of the day? How could that possibly be? How could it possibly be where that happens? How? Jesus said, I will give you my words to say to them. Have you ever noticed when Jesus walked the face of the earth, His harshest words were the religious people. His harshest words were for the church people. His words of tender mercy were for who? For those seeking Christ. For those that were hurting. You see, these people have the power. And they eventually do put Stephen to death. Where did he get that power? He got it from the Holy Spirit of God. You see, what is courage? You may ask that. What is courage? What is real courage? You see, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear that has said its prayers to God. See, when you talk to the Lord, you can have all the courage in the world. Lord, pull me through this. Real courage, pay close attention, church. Real courage is when you have so much Holy Ghost power that you are afraid to not tell the truth. You see, having Holy Ghost power isn't having the power to speak the truth. Having real Holy Spirit power is to have so much power from the Holy Spirit, so much conviction, that you are scared to death not to tell the truth. Not to say what God has called to be said. Stephen was an ordinary man, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. His wisdom and courage were supernatural because it came from the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, filled with the Spirit, he could stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had courage in the face of incredible odds. So be full of the Holy Spirit. Use the Spirit's wisdom to speak for Christ. Use the Spirit's power to stand for Christ. And finally, use the Spirit's power to have faith in Jesus Christ. Our final point today. Use the Spirit's power to stand, pardon me, to have faith for Christ. See, we read already that he was a man full of faith. Therefore, he was able to suffer for Christ. Christians, don't ever get the idea that your faith in Almighty God and your love of Jesus Christ is going to get you out of difficulties of suffering. I'm going to say that one more time because we have a whole incorrect attitude about the Christian life. Don't ever think that your faith in Almighty God, don't ever think that your love of Jesus Christ is going to get you out of all of the difficulties and suffering in this life. Your faith will not keep you from suffering. Well, I'm really selling this Christianity thing, aren't I? But your faith will get you through it. But your faith has to be in something. Something real. Your faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He will be there with you. Look at verse 59 again. It says, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now here's the secret for today, your nugget. I always like to give a nugget. Amen? You cannot be willing to suffer for Christ if you are not intimately acquainted with Jesus Christ. What's that mean? You are not ready to suffer for Christ if you don't know Jesus Christ. If he can't just be a Sunday morning thing, guys. He can't just be a Sunday morning thing. I'm going to say it one more time. He cannot just be a Sunday morning deal in your life. Christ has to be an intimate part of your life. You can't suffer for Jesus if you're not looking forward to life with Jesus someday. I'm telling you that it cost to serve Jesus. It cost Stephen his life. And if you're looking for a cheap way, if you're looking for an easy way, if you're looking for a lazy way to serve God, I suggest you forget it. People ask me all the time, why did God allow that terrible thing to happen? Why did God allow that terrible thing to happen? Why did God allow that terrible thing to happen to whoever? See, generally what they're really asking is, how could God let that thing happen to me? I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. Well, who else? Who else is better equipped to suffer for the world, for Christ, than the Christian? Amen? Amen. You've been prepared for this, friends. You should be ready for this. How did that terrible thing happen? How could Sandy Hook happen? How could Stoneman Douglas happen? Without getting into the problem of pain and suffering, the question is not, listen to me, the question is not why some Christians suffer. The big question is why some Christians don't. We are better equipped than anybody. Look at the screen for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm giving you some Bible verses to live by today, aren't I? You know? Yeah. Write that down. Mark that down. When something happened in your life where you were suffering terribly, go to that verse. And you know what you can say? My God is a promise keeper. My God told me this would happen. My God promised me this would happen. Hallelujah to the Lord. He's allowed this to happen because He knows I can bear it with Him. Hallelujah, my God is a promise keeper. Now I want to talk to my preachers for just a moment. My pastor's in his church. My pastor's watching in on the internet. You guys love the Lord. I know you do. You guys love to preach the Word of God. I know that. My preachers, my pastors, I know that you say, I want to be Spirit-filled like Peter, where 3,000 people get saved at one time. But you know who else was filled with the Holy Spirit? Stephen. Did 3,000 people get saved? No. What did he get? 3,000 stones. Friends, we just read that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. So preachers, pastors, elders, deacons, directors, are you ready for that? Because if you're not, then how can we expect God's people to be ready for that? If leaders are not ready to walk that walk, how can God's people be ready? You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says what? That you are to go and be my what? Witnesses to all the world. That word witnesses, never forget, I taught it. That word witness means what? You guys remember? Starts with an M. Martyr. Martyr. Jesus says, I want you to go be my martyrs to the world. So Christians, do you have the spirit of a martyr in your heart? Right here. Right now. Jesus said, you will be my martyrs. Here's another nugget. Stephen was not a martyr because he died for Christ. Stephen died for Christ because he was already a martyr. He had already prepared his heart that this could happen. He was ready to do that. He had Holy Spirit faith to suffer for Christ. Was he the only one? Of course not. If you look on the screen, we're almost about to wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 and 35, 36, 37, 38. Watch this. This is called the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. We have one more screen. Did you get those words? Of whom the world was not worthy. How are they able to do that? By faith. By faith in God's plan. Now look at your pastor. I want to ask you a question. The question is not, do you have faith to escape the trials? But do you have the faith to endure for Christ? The great question is not, do you have faith to be delivered, but do you have the faith to die for Christ? Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He's a man full of faith, and he died for Christ. It's not whether or not you have enough faith to be healed so that you can praise God. Are you getting that? It's not whether or not you have enough faith to be healed so that you can praise God. It's whether or not you have the faith to praise God whether He heals you or not. Amen. That's the faith we're talking about. Faith is not getting what you want from God, but accepting what He gives you as a blessing in your life. So I'm going to ask you, are you okay with that? Our story ends on verse 60. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. They thought they had killed Stephen. Are you guys ready for that? The legalists thought they had killed Stephen. They thought it was all over, but God. But God. Friends, Stephen closed his eyes in death, and in an instant, his spirit soared free. His spirit soared into heaven, and he opened his eyes, hearing Jesus saying, welcome home, Stephen. You stood strong in your faith for me. You never denied my name to your accusers. You asked forgiveness for your killers. Thank you, Stephen, for being true to me. Now, Stephen, let's join this great crowd of witnesses of whom the world is not worthy. Let's watch together as this Saul, that's right, Stephen, Saul, the same Saul who's part of the crowd, the same Saul that martyred you to me, the same Saul who stood right there watching as they stoned you, and he has no idea what he will accomplish for my great name. He has no idea that he will go from this legalistic, vengeful, spiteful, evil man and will become the great Apostle Paul. Known for his grace. What do I say every week? Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Paul. Stephen, let's watch him do my work, shall we? And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give God praise in His house. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.